Radio Prague News.
Major General Aleš Opata will be appointed the new chief of the general staff of the Czech Armed Forces. The chairman of China's CEFC, Ye Yangming, who serves as economic advisor to Czech President Miloš Zeman, has been investigated for suspected economic crimes. And the health of the world's last surviving male northern white rhino, which belongs to Dvůr Králové Zoo, has considerably worsened. Major General Aleš Opata will be appointed the new chief of the general staff of the Czech Armed Forces, Defence Minister Karla Šlechtová announced on Thursday. Mr. Opata, who has served as a deputy of the Army Chief of Staff, will replace Josef Bečvář in the post. His appointment is scheduled to take place on the 1st of May. The minister said the first task of the newly appointed Army Chief of Staff will be reorganizing the Army's management. Among other topics she wants to discuss with Mr. Opata will be shortcomings in Army equipment. The chairman of China's energy and investment group CEFC, Ye Yangming, who serves as economic advisor to Czech President Miloš Zeman, has been investigated for suspected economic crimes, Reuters reported on Thursday, citing an anonymous source. CEFC, which describes itself as the biggest private company in Shanghai and seventh largest private firm in China, has chosen the Czech Republic for the headquarters of its European activities. The company was recently refused permission by the Czech National Bank to increase its stake in the Czech-Slovak JNT Financial Group. The health of the world's last surviving male northern white rhino, which belongs to Dvůr Králové Zoo, has considerably worsened, the Czech news agency reported on Thursday. The 47-year-old rhino has been moved to a reserve in Kenya since 2009 as part of an international effort to save the dying breed in its natural habitat. According to vets, the rhino suffers from a deep infection in his right rear leg, and there is not much hope for improvement due to his age. Czech agricultural earnings fell to 21.3 billion crowns in 2017, which is a drop by 5.5% on the previous year, according to preliminary figures released by the Czech Statistical Office on Thursday. That figure still represents the third best result since the year 2000, according to the office's head Marek Rojíček. The best result recorded by Czech farmers to date was in 2014, when agricultural earnings reached 22.9 billion crowns. Meteorologists have declared a smog alert across much of the Moravian Silesian region on Thursday. The warning applies to Ostrava Karvina and parts of Frýdek Místek, where levels of dust particles have exceeded the permitted limit. Children and people suffering from heart problems or asthma have been advised to stay indoors as much as possible. Forecasters have also warned that if the situation doesn't improve, regulations may soon be introduced, forcing some companies to limit production. The region of Moravia Silesia had long had the worst air quality in the country and in Europe, with local industry, heat plants and domestic heating contributing to the problem. Prague's Libeň Bridge over the Vltava River will reopen to trams and cars on Saturday after being closed for more than 5 weeks. Prague authorities made the decision after checking the temporary reinforcement of the bridge's construction. The bridge was closed for most transport late in January following a report to city transport bosses highlighting the dangerous state of one of its 6 sections. The bridge as a whole was classified as stage 7, the worst possible on a 7-point scale. The Culture Ministry has recently ruled that the unique Cubist bridge from 1928 is not a cultural heritage site. The Prague City Council is to decide at one of its next meetings whether the bridge is to be reconstructed or disassembled and pulled down. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Friday is expected to be mostly sunny, with daytime highs ranging between minus 7 and minus 3 degrees Celsius. I'm Ruth Franíková, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, the Communist Party win backing for a controversial tax on returned church property. UK group Massive Attack are confirmed for a major Prague music festival, and later plans to, and I kid you not, bring one of Brno's mummies back to life. All that's coming up in today's programme. The Lower House of Parliament on Wednesday approved a controversial Communist Party proposal for church restitutions to be taxed. Although the bill was only passed in its first reading, support from the parties currently debating a coalition in the making has cast doubt on the future of a hard-won settlement between the country's 16 churches and the state. Daniela Lazareva reports.
The 2012 agreement on compensating churches for property seized by the communists was one of the most sensitive issues tackled post-1989. Following a 20-year debate, the centre-right government of Prime Minister Petr Nečas and representatives of 16 churches signed bilateral agreements under which they would receive 75 billion crowns worth of land and property confiscated by the communist regime and get 59 billion crowns worth of compensation money for the rest, to be paid by the state over a period of 30 years. Although the Communist Party vehemently protested against the agreement, saying it was overinflated and pushing for the compensation money to be taxed, until now they were powerless to oppose it. This changed with a new balance of power in the lower house. The ANO party, which won the elections and is striving to form the country's next government, agreed to support the proposal in return for tolerance from the communists. The bill, which would level a 19% tax on church restitution money, won support in its first reading not only from the communists and ANO, but also from the Social Democrats, a likely coalition partner in the next government, and the Anti-Migrant Freedom and Direct Democracy Party, which is seeking to push through its policy priorities in return for backing other parties' proposals. The outcome of the vote saw insults flying through the air as right-wing deputies denounced the move. The head of Top 09's deputies club in the lower house, Miroslav Kalousek, said this would amount to a second theft 70 years after the first one.
Někdo vám uloupí majetek, pak je vám za to vyplacena náhrada.
Your property is stolen. You receive compensation for it and then get taxed. That is utter nonsense.
A vy jste za to zdaněn. To je nesmysl.
Prime Minister Andrej Babiš, whose party enabled the bill to be passed, argued that since the money allotted to churches was a form of income, it should rightly be taxed. He reminded the lower house that he had had serious reservations to it long before the coalition talks.
I have nothing against church restitutions. What I see as a problem is that they were overinflated by about 54 billion crowns.
The Prime Minister claims that the estimate of the compensation sum based on the prices of land is way over the top and has repeatedly pointed out that some of the churches which were allotted restitution money were not eligible to receive any compensation since seven of them did not even exist before the fall of communism in 1989. The bill will now have to pass through two more readings, but the parties which supported it in its first reading will only need to stick to their guns to see it through. The Catholic Church has already made it clear that if that happens, it will lodge a complaint against it with a constitutional court.
And that report was by my colleague Daniela Lazareva. Prague, as well as other cities and towns in the Czech Republic, such as Brno and Ostrava, remain a major draw for music fans, each year seeing performances not just by local singers and bands, but of course, major international artists. This year is shaping up quite well when it comes to the latter. Jan Wellinger has more.
Prague and other parts of the Czech Republic have seen many shows to remember. Even after more than something like 15 or 20 years, fans recall particular performances by groups like Pearl Jam, which played the capital, albeit minus singer Eddie Vedder, but on the other hand with rock great Neil Young. More recently, AC/DC played with Axl Rose stepping in as frontman for Brian Johnson, who has sadly stopped performing due to hearing loss. And they saw German metal band Rammstein in back-to-back shows last spring, and 80s and 90s legends Depeche Mode just this January. And the coming months are not shaping up badly either. Just this week it was announced that Prague would see the return of rock legends the Rolling Stones. Or it was announced earlier that heavy metal giant Ozzy Osbourne would also play.
Come from we above.
And this Thursday, trip-hop legends Massive Attack. That band will be playing at this summer's Metronome Festival. Back in its maiden year in Prague in 2016, Metronome offered several stages at the Výstaviště Fairgrounds. Then it was headlined by punk rock icon Iggy Pop. Ahead of that first inception, this is how the festival was summed up by founder David Gajdečka when he spoke to Radio Prague.
To start the festival, it wasn't really easy because all these big bands you want to bring, if you call them that you would like to bring them to a Metronome festival, they don't know anything about it. So they rather, I suppose, stay safe with some gigs. We have the same date as Glastonbury. But we presented this idea, and I think the management and booking agent liked this idea. New event just in the capital of Czech Republic. So finally we agreed.
Fast forward almost 3 years, and the festival has cemented itself as a major event in the Czech music calendar. Last year, Metronome saw Sting, who of course still has a huge following, not only for his individual career, but of course for his career with the Police. Now, of course, Massive Attack. Now, if anyone was less familiar with the Bristol band in the early 90s, the group's seminal album Mezzanine in 1998 changed all that. The trio aren't the only big name this year. There will also be David Byrne, John Cale, and the Chemical Brothers. For Massive Attack, however, it is promising to be special. In Prague, they are to celebrate 30 years since they were founded. Meanwhile, speculation has already begun whether Prague, around that time, might see its first street art by anonymous street art legend Banksy, in line with that theory that the groups 3D and Banksy are one and the same person. And this is what Metronome Festival's artistic director, Barbara Schubertová, had to say.
We'll
just have to wait and see whether a work by Banksy appears in Prague around the time of the Metronome Festival.
The festival is, of course, still months away, but as always, the time to start thinking about tickets is now.
That report was by Jan Wellinger. Now, there's a place in Moravia where you can see real mummies. They are not as old as those in Egypt, but old enough to generate genuine scientific interest among anthropologists at Masaryk University in Brno. Vít Bohanka made the trip to eastern Czechia and found out that quite soon one of the mummies might be brought back to virtual life.
Still on the west bank of the river, but farther north, come to the Valley of the Kings and the City of the Dead, site of a great royal tomb.
To most people in the world, mummies, or the mummified human bodies, are inseparably connected with Egypt. And no wonder. Travel films, like this one produced in the 1950s by the now defunct American TWA Airlines, promoted the pyramids and especially the Valley of the Kings as the place to go if you wanted to see the exciting relics of ancient cultures.
Here was made the greatest discovery of Egyptian archaeology. King Tutankhamun, whose tomb was opened in 1922 to disclose a treasure of relics from Egypt's golden age of antiquity.
The discoveries by the famous British archaeologist Howard Carter in the 1920s started a century of interest in ancient Egyptian culture. The mummies of the Nile Valley somehow personified this magic world. They overshadowed the fact that you can actually find burial places with uniquely preserved human and animal bodies in other parts of the world, including Brno, in southeastern part of Czechia. Kateřina Hlouchová is the manager of the Capuchin Crypt of Brno. She is showing me around this place where the members of the Order of Friars, Minor Capuchin, as they were officially called, were buried in the 17th and 18th centuries. And even though these mummies are relatively young compared to those of ancient Egyptian kingdoms, they are to this day fascinating witnesses of their customs and way of life.
Visitors can see two rows of friars clothed in the remains of their typical brown habit. They were not buried in coffins, but laid directly on the bare ground with just a couple of bricks under their heads. That was a typical burial custom in the Capuchin order, in line with the philosophy of St. Francis of Assisi, their founder. He criticized the Catholic Church's tendency to accumulate worldly property and wealth. This is a kind of thin red line going through the whole history of the order. So up to this day, if anyone enters the order, they have to promise to observe the principles of purity, poverty, and obedience. By lying on the bare ground, they demonstrate they do not need even a coffin, that this would be a needless luxury.
The Capuchin crypt of Brno was used until 1784. It was then that the Holy Roman Emperor and the ruler of Habsburg lands, Joseph II, initiated numerous reforms intended to modernize life of his subjects. One of his edicts, or patents as they were called, concerned burial practices. It banned burying dead within the city limits in order to prevent the possibility of spreading diseases. But by then, some 200 people had been already buried in the Brno crypt, and remains of many of them survived to this day.
Mohli se zachovat díky tomu, že tady byl vybudovaný důmyslný systém průduchových otvorů.
They could be preserved thanks to an elaborate system of ventilating air ducts. It worked very reliably and effectively dehydrated the bodies. It was complemented by a favorable geological composition of the soil onto which the bodies were laid. These two factors together caused the mummification that, as we can see even today, was very successful.
But it's not just the Capuchin friars that you can find in their crypt. As Kateřina Hlouchová explains, the order actually awarded burial space to some of the eminent Brno families that somehow supported them or otherwise helped them.
Je to rodina architekta Mořice Grima. I když tu architekturu v podstatě nikdy nevystudoval, ale...
This is the family of architect Maurice Grimm. Although he never studied architecture, he actually designed many beautiful buildings together with his son Francis Anthony, who was buried on his father's right-hand side. They were both very strong personalities and to a large extent shaped the way in which Baroque Brno was built.
Architektonického Brna.
The mummies of Brno are not just some sort of a macabre tourist attraction, strange curiosity for general travelling public. They are a subject of genuine scientific interest and study. I was invited to the Department of Anthropology of the Masaryk University of Brno by Assistant Professor Petra Urbanová. She promised an expert explanation of the mummy phenomenon for a layperson like me.
What we have here, it's mummified human remains. The process of mummification occurs when there is a rapid process of dehydration of body remains or body tissues. And as a result of that, some parts of the human body, the tissues, they are not inclined to decompose rapidly. They are preserved.
What sort of conditions need to be preserved or need to be in place, rather, so that the body is mummified, preserved in such a way?
There must be some specific favorable conditions for the mummifications to occur. Specifically, there must be dry air, or more specifically, dry constant airflow for the body, for the body tissues to dehydrate rapidly.
Why did it happen here in Brno? Why didn't it happen, you know, in other places? Why is it such a rare occurrence?
It happens in other places, but for the Central Europe, it's extremely rare. And it's a combination of constant air in a crypt, in a Capuchin crypt, and also some geological background, the lack of nitrogen in the environment, and as I said, the constant airflow.
Long time ago, back in the 1980s even, I was here with a friend of mine who happens to be an American literature professor from New York. And when he saw the mummies here in Brno, he wouldn't believe me that these were not models. He said, this is impossible. I mean, it couldn't be preserved for such a long time when there is such an aggressive atmosphere these days. You know, at that time, actually, it was possible to walk nearly among, you know, the body remains. Mm-hmm. So how come that they can be preserved even now when the atmosphere, one would think, you know, the pollution is aggressive and people are walking around bringing it in?
Well, we are still underground. And nowadays, the environment, the place, the room around, the crypt is preserved, is isolated, I would say, from the visitors and people around. So, and they are perfectly curated, I would say. But to your question, the process of decay, it continues. So in a couple of years, we will see the process of degradation. So in this sense, for now, the rate of preservation is extremely good and is excellent. But as we go on, it will decay. It will degrade.
In 100, 200 years, 300 years?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't say that. But it will continue and we will see some modifications and changes.
And there are no plans, I mean, to, I don't know, inject something, I mean, to mummify, to help, you know, the national mummification.
As I said, they are well curated.
What does it mean, well curated?
Taken care of and restored gradually. All of the mummies are being restored as we speak.
Using some chemicals?
Yeah, using chemicals, using mechanical techniques and so on. But I'm not an expert in that area, but they are well curated.
What is the significance for your branch of science of such mummified remains? I mean, is it more of a, you know, it's a freak kind of accident of history, or does it really help you to understand the time when these people were buried?
It sort of is a freak, but freak that helps us to understand other parts of the human body and the parts that we usually and frequently don't get to see. So soft tissue, skin ridges, for example, fine details of the human skin. These are the sources of information that we need to make conclusions about human bodies, about human burial rites, customs, way of living, or sort of things.
Both experts and the Capuchin Order would like to popularize the unique crypt. And when it comes to that, there's no better way of doing it than to use the services of probably the most famous person buried in the crypt, Baron Franz von der Trenck.
Je spojen s Marií Terezií, vstoupil do jejich služeb a podílel se na úspěšném.
He entered the services of Maria Theresa when the Empress was fighting the war of the Austrian succession. His little army was effective but committed many gruesome atrocities as well. So Baron Trenck ended up a prisoner for life here in Spielberg Castle in Brno, convicted of high crimes including looting and murdering innocent people. It was only at the end of his life that he started seeking salvation with the help of the Capuchin friars, one of the main offshoots of the Franciscan order. They regularly visited the prisoners of Spielberg and helped Baron Trenck see that he had not led a righteous life. He eventually became very religious, asked to be buried here in the crypt, having bequeathed all his worldly possessions to the Capuchins order.
And the Department of Anthropology of the Masaryk University in Brno is now working on bringing Baron Trenck back to life, in virtual reality, that is.
We are in the process of building facial reconstruction for the Baron Trenck, which is based on skull morphology. And so far, we have examined the body, the mummified body, using CT scan, which allows us to generate 3D models, 3D skulls, skeletons of one skull in this case, and specific bones in his body. We'll continue with that. The aim of the project is to reconstruct the whole body and to use modern technology to make him walk, to make him interact with visitors in the exposition, for example.
In virtual reality somehow.
Exactly.
What will it look like? Kids will be running around, I mean, with something on their eyes, some eyewear?
We haven't decided yet. We have virtual reality techniques in our lab. We are trying to come up with something that would be suitable for exposition because it's supposed to be a large-scale exhibition, so we have to think of that a little bit. But we'll see.
Assistant Professor of Anthropology Petra Urbanová. It will take some time, but pretty soon she and her colleagues will be able to state that the mummy of Brno is truly back. Vít Pohanka, Czech Radio, Moravia.
And that report was by Vít Pohanka, and you can find photos of those mummies on our website. Now, Daniela Lazareva is here again with another episode of our Hit of the Century series, in which we're now up to the year 1956.
Hit of the Century.
There is an old saying that when two people argue, a third one laughs. A similar situation occurred in relation to Czech music in February of 1948. On the one hand, there was an onslaught of new songs. On the other, everything influenced by swing or jazz was denounced by the Communist Party. And who was the laughing third party? It was, of course, the traditional brass bands and string bands with their folk songs. Although important government officials did not really care about folk music, even the brass bands faced objections from the authorities over some of their lyrics. This did not matter to the high-ranking communist comrades who gladly danced or listened to them at mandatory parades on May 1st. But today we'll focus on the dance repertoire. Starting in 1956, the polka Once, Twice by the well-known composer Jaromír Vejvoda and writer Ladislav Jančura sold 140,000 records. It was thought that the title meant to express the complaints of a discarded lover who wished to wait for his love and cried for her, but then left her out of spite. However, according to the authors, the name had a different origin. Supposedly, when buying tram tickets, one of the authors was asked, "Once? Twice?" The idea suddenly took hold, and we can only wonder how it could have inspired such a successful hit. Here it is now, sung by Milan Černos.
Vzpomínám, kde tě asi mám, jen půl hodiny, říkáš nic není, kdo má stále trpět tvoje zpoždění. Jednou, dvakrát budu čekat, po třetí nechám tě stát.
And that was Daniela Lazareva with another song in our series Hit of the Century, and she'll have one more for you tomorrow. But that's all we have time for right now on Radio Prague. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening, and goodbye.
Jedna plaštovička neděla, jednou, dvakrát dám si zahrát, tebe nechám trucovat. Jaro a
žena vlaštovička nedělá. Jednou, dvakrát dám si zahrát, tebe nechám trucovat. Jaro, abys věděla, jedna vlaštovička nedělá. Jednou, dvakrát dám si zahrát, tebe nechám trucovat.